Our Father, we come to you again this morning and thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God taught on these premises during the Sunday school hour. Now we come to the morning service. Dear Lord, it's a time we pray that you'd give us understanding, give us anointing. Help us say it's been good to be in the house of God today. And dear Father, I pray you'd bless those who came, that it be not a waste of their time. The studying that's been done will be that which would enhance us to grow in grace and knowledge. We leave this place, be drawn closer to you than we were when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and be turning to Matthew chapter 4. I started a series of study about 4 weeks ago about the Bible. It's one thing to say we believe in the King James, you know, authorized version of the Bible. Another reason to know why. We should always know why we believe in what we believe. And I've done my best in a series of studies. I'm sure this won't be the last time I'll preach these, because I'm consolidating this together in some places to be going and speaking once I get through my endeavor, Lord willing. And because this is something that you hear among fundamentalism very little about. We know why. We know we use the Bible we use. And many times we have one or two phrases of why we do it. But we've gone in great detail now for 4 weeks, and this will be the fifth week. Next week I'm going to sum it all up. So we'll say, well, this is a Sunday for Thanksgiving, when I have a Thanksgiving service. Well, this is a Thanksgiving service, thanking God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. To understand what we got, why we got it, and what it means for us in this life. So if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, before we read the verse here. We look to start with, we ask the question, where does your authority lie? We convinced ourselves from the scriptures that it lies, and I gave you a number of places that people say the authority doesn't even lie with me or lie with you. It doesn't lie in human reasoning or human experience. It doesn't even lie in the church, so to speak, unless the church is based on the scriptures. There's a lot of churches that's not authority from God's word. So we looked at, where did your authority lie? It lies in the scriptures. The scriptures we saw were inspired of God. God gave them to originally through inspiration. And God has kept them down through the years through preservation. But you know, you can know where your authority lies, and you can know the scriptures inspired. But on the other hand, you have to understand the scriptures. Just knowing that is not enough. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit, who inspired to write the scriptures, when you and I trust Christ as Savior, moved in and he helps us understand the scriptures. We must understand the scriptures if they're ever going to do anything for us in life. And that doesn't come automatically. You've got to spend some time studying this book to understand it. Mark Twain said years ago, if you do not read the paper, you're uninformed. If you do read the paper, you're misinformed. Well, I want you to know, when you read the Bible, if you don't read the Bible, you're uninformed. But if you do read the Bible, you will be informed by the Holy Spirit of God. He will see to that. I thought about how we can misunderstand things. There's a fellow up in the mountains, went to a revival meeting. And at the end of the service, the evangelist gave an invitation to come to be prayed for. And they had a prayer line for people coming up. And this fellow got out and got in the prayer line, got up where the evangelist was at, and he said, "Sir, what is your name?" He said, "My name is Bubba." And he said, "Well, Bubba, what did you come down for?" He said, "I've come down to pray for my hearing." And the evangelist was glad to. He put his left hand on his head, stuck his finger in his ear, and he prayed for his left ear for hearing. And he got through that, and he put his right hand on his forehead and stuck his left finger into his right ear, and he prayed for him. For, I don't know, in all, probably about 3 or 4 minutes, and no more than 5 minutes, he prayed for this guy's hearing. And when he got through praying, he said, "Now, Bubba, how's your hearing?" And Bubba said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "It ain't the next Wednesday at the courthouse at 10 o'clock. You can be misinformed. Amen? So we don't want that to happen. We want you to be informed, and I guarantee you, the scriptures it will inform you. It will transform you also. Amen. And that's what we want to be sure. So you say, "Well, preacher, I believe that, you know, my authority lies in the scripture. I believe the ordained of God. And I also believe you have to understand them. That comes from studying." But wait a minute. You can understand them and still not believe them. Now, how can that be? You have the if you're born into the family of God, you've got the capability of understanding what God wants you to understand in this book. But then God still gives you the power to believe. Now, you say, wait a minute, understanding and believing is the same? Not necessarily, because James tells in James chapter 2, verse 19, the devils believe in one God and tremble, but they don't. They don't obey him. They don't believe to the place that it gives them to the next step, what we're going to look at today. As a matter of fact, when you think about this thing of understanding and believing the scriptures, as in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, before we read our scripture today, the Bible says, Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Here in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4, Jesus has been led by the Spirit into the wilderness, you know, and Satan has come in and condemned him. And he's asked the first thing in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered, that is, Jesus answered and said, it is written. Now, he could have said by authority, I say this and it be true. But he says, as a man, it is written, man shall not, notice again, live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you also look with me in James chapter 1, we know this by heart, read it many times, but it fits here as a launching pad for us this morning, where James said in chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now I want to speak to you this morning on why we should obey the scriptures. Not only do we believe that our authority lies in the inspiration of the scriptures which are inspired of God. Not only do we believe that we have to understand that, not only do we believe that we have to believe that which we understand, but another step is, once you understand and believe what you understand, there's another step of obedience. Obedience. You'd be surprised of the people who know a lot about the Bible, there's no obedience there at all. And there's no cycle of growth like it should be unless there is obedience. That's the reason I've broken this down in these different eras, because each one of these eras are very important in our Christian life to be able to advance in the scriptures as God helps us to advance. So he says here again, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. What if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that what manner of man he was. Watch. Not, he said, you look at yourself and you forget what manner of man you was. And then probably because you forget that, you begin to make decisions. We're going to see in a few minutes like Adam and Eve did. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. This man shall dwell with Christ fully satisfied, happy, blessed indeed. Now, when I talk about why we should obey the scriptures, I might say, but preacher, we know that God said to. But it's an amazing thing. Don't turn me off. You listen to me this morning. And every last one of us have been somewhere along in this process after we get saved. Now, first of all, animals, let's look at animals versus human beings. Animals live to fulfill their instincts. Hey, it's a farm boy. You pour corn out of a sack on the ground and chickens come pick it up. I don't care where it's at. You take a cow and put him out in a pasture and he's content to graze at grass all day long. And then lay down once in a while to chew it. When you look at the animals compared to human being, you take a female animal with a male animal and copulation will take place in the right circumstances. You don't have to, it just does it. That's automatically. They go by instincts. But when you come to man, man is unique compared to animals. Man is beyond animals. He's made in the image of God. Man cannot go on and on with his nose in the feed bin. He's not made that way. He's made to think. He's made to make decisions. He's made beyond the animal. He's just not living by instinct to survive every day. He's looking at himself and things around him and trying his best to program and make his life what it ought to be, even though without God, he doesn't know where he came from, but he's still searching. No animal is searching where they came from. But man, even unsaved man, is still searching. He's wondering about the hereafter. No animal considers where he's going to die when it dies, that whether there's going to be the hereafter, but man does. Unsaved people do that. And thousands and billions of dollars are spent every year by our government in some of these areas of life. Man has more than the basic instincts that animals have. God has set eternity in the heart of human beings. God has given man a conscience that an animal does not have. Animal will do something and all of a sudden his conscience bother him and he decides, well, I shouldn't have done that. He goes by instinct. And so God has said eternity in the hearts of man. Now, unlike the animals, a man may lay down his life for his friends by a choice. When I think about this, I look at man and look at animals, and God has not placed us in an open marriage situation in this life. He's placed us in families. Individual families. And hear me now. Since creation, there has been the ordinance of marriage with a husband and a wife and children and not open marriages. There's no such a thing that's in the Bible. We're not like animals. We have been created in the image of God. Man can satisfy his basic hungers and survive. He can survive for a period of time in this life without God in his life. A lot of them are doing it. I've got news for you. There's a lot of people in this world today don't even care one thing about God. And they're more well off than you and I are. You don't believe that? Where you got your head? What I'm saying to you, you can abandon God and for a while survive, but you won't win. You won't win. I guarantee you that. I won't win if I do that in life. Man can satisfy his basic hunger and survive. Man can ignore God for a while. But then, and the reason for that, God allows that because we're in the image of, God has made us in a divine image that we bear. And yet it's in a fallen state because of our forefather Adam and mother Eve. This God has given us his own book to educate us, to inspire us. I read from it this morning to you. To inspire us and to motivate us to not live by bread alone. This book tells us who God is. It tells us what God is doing. It tells us God's will. It tells us what we must do to be in the center of God's will. It reveals God's purpose. No wonder he encourages us, especially his children, if no one else, to study this book. Because we'll never know. You can't look towards the heaven and know all about the God who made the heaven. You know he's a gigantic God, but you'll not know all about him. And that's the reason the world looks and they turn and they try to find an element to appease the God who made that. I don't know who he is, but surely I'll do something to appease him. So when I meet him one day, I can say, I did this, Lord. When God has set forth, your works is like filthy rags in my nostrils. You got to let me do the work for you. I've tried man's work down through the years, you see, and it tells us about God. It warns us what patterns of conduct we are to avoid to escape his condemnation. The Bible is a book of precepts and the book of prohibitions. The Bible is a book of do and don'ts, whether we like it or not. The Bible is a book of truth and manifested error. It's God's holy word. Now, why should we obey the scriptures then? We say, that's good for me. It's just God's word. They don't get it in this world. It may be all right as a phrase, but you don't know more. Thank God you know it's God's word. Hey, if you really believe it's God's word, you go study it. You know, he didn't write it for us to say, hey, I just believe God gave us the Bible. He didn't write it to tell others. He wrote it for us to understand him and for us to study it. So when you say, hey, I believe the Bible is the word of God, are you studying? Well, I don't have time. Then you don't believe it. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is not given for us to sit on the coffee table. Now, let me give you four quick points why I believe that we must obey the Scriptures. You say, but God said that. No, I know that, but you need to know more. Because that in itself don't make... Hey, if you say God said it and that's enough, fine. Then we ought to be reading what He said. But you'd be surprised how much Satan has kept every last one of us from this book this week. You read articles about a lot of other things. And anytime you're reading something somebody else has written, you're reading what they think it says. You should never read nothing without going back to this book and ask God to help you understand if it's so or not so. That's the way it ought to be. Let me give you four quick things now why we should obey the Scriptures. Number one, simple this. God speaks to us through His Word.
Amen.
Now, human experiences nowadays people having will deny this sometime, but I'll tell you, God does not speak to us audibly. He speaks to us through His Word. In the absence of our Savior, until He comes back in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, God speaks to us through His Word. But He does provide us, He doesn't speak to us audibly, but He does provide us with an instructional handbook to the Christian life called the Bible. Now, we understand that. I worked at Cutler Hammer years ago. We had instructional handbooks about everything department we had. And you get that book out to a new employee, come in and say, now, here, read this book, and then we'll talk about what we expect and what we're doing here. And about every place you go would have a new handbook, instruction about what you are doing. That became your so-called Bible for that job. Well, God Almighty knew that we are the ones who many times hear things differently. Therefore, He has written His Word down. And even when He wrote it down, there's many people reading it differently. Can you imagine if God, as He wrote it down, we read it differently? Can you imagine what it'd be like if He's speaking to us audibly? It'd be a whole lot worse if everybody was hearing the voice they said was of God audibly in our particular day. He gives us a rule book that's with grace to love His rules and help with the energy to keep those rules. He doesn't just give them to us. He gives us the power and the energy to keep those rules. God dealt with people. He dealt with churches. He deals with situations in life that kind of indicate to us how He expects us to behave, expects us what to do, both as individuals and as a church body. He gives us instructions so we may know they're written down. Now hear me, because we're in the image of God, God will allow us to choose even a congregation that will confirm all of our prejudices. He'll let us find a congregation that will confirm our fleshly appetites, our carnal moves. There are plenty of them out there like that. And we can make a choice of looking at the difference between that type of church or a church, ladies and gentlemen, that we can attend where the Bible is the absolute Word of God. It does the work that God Almighty says it would do in changing lives of that congregation as it was intended to do. And it's always teaching, it's always reproving, it's always correcting, it's always instructing in righteousness. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So I said, well, what do you mean? Don't tell me God didn't speak to me audibly. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say something to you? It's not that God can't, but why would God come and speak audibly when He's already spoken verbally in His Word? Let me tell you something. God knows, and I believe this with all my heart, God knows that if we do not take the time to learn and obey the Scriptures, we will not obey His audible voice from heaven if we heard it. Because there's too many that can take us at face value. Paul, on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, heard the voice of God. He gave testimony two times in the book of Acts as he gave his testimony through the rest of that book. And you'll find that when he heard the voice of God, all of it, what God said to him, so while persons give thou me, the others heard a voice, but they didn't understand what was going on. Sometimes some people said they heard the voice sound like thunder. Some other times there's a loud voice, couldn't make details out of it. But everyone that God wanted to hear the voice correctly heard it verbatim. So can you imagine this morning if God would come and speak to us with our thinking as wide as it is of this number that's here, probably some of us would hear things other than what others heard. That's the way we are when we hear. We look at things and comprehend different things from that. We look at something in life and we see something different. You have two people give testimony to something, and more than likely there may be a lot of things similar, but a lot of things will be different. So what God has done, this helps me understand this great God. He says, I'm not going to leave it up to just people trying to pass down what I said audibly. I'm going to have it written in a book. It'll be a text handbook to hand out to the people that they can know me. And I will expound to them and explain to them and inspire them about who I am if they'll study the handbook. And that's God's holy word. You can mark it down. I remember another situation. Said this country lady visited a friend of hers in town. And they had supper one night. And after supper, was back years ago in the summertime when they didn't have all the air conditioning we have now. And they sat out on the front porch. And the lady that was visiting sitting in the swing, and her visitor lived in town, was sitting in a chair. And the lady that was from the country listening, she said, "Isn't that beautiful sound? I hear those crickets out there. Sounds like I'm at home." So that's just a great sound. And then the lady sitting in the chair heard a choir practicing across the street in the church. And she said, "Have you ever heard such singing as that? Here they are talking now." Get in mind, the lady from the country listened to the crickets. The lady in the town listened to the choir. They have a conversation. And the lady from the choir said, heard the singing across the road, the street, and she said, "Isn't that heavenly music?" And the lady who was from the country said, "Yes, it is. You know, I understand they make that sound by rubbing their legs together." Two different things. Talking about two different things. By the way, you say they don't have it. Have you ever listened to people talk sometime? You can carry two. You can be talking to someone and talking about two different things, thinking you're talking about the same thing. And be entirely different. That's the reason God don't leave us to an audible voice. He's got it written down. And you come and say God said something, you got to show me where He said it. And then I can look at it and find out whether God helps me see what you see. But I'd have no way. I'd have no reference points if you said God said something and He didn't say it to me. I got a reference point. You wonder why this church is so gung-ho of this book? Because it's God's Word. It says Amen. And everything we hear, we judge by the book. You say, that makes you authority. No, that makes us a Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian. Amen. That's what it makes us. We have no authority. I have no authority either. The only thing I have is influence. I can't make you believe anything. But I pray to God that you would look at something to be influenced to say, I believe at least most of the things He said, if not all, are pretty well right. Amen. 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 So I'm saying to you, again, God speaks to us through His Word. Number two, then if He speaks to us through His Word, then as human beings, we defy the Word of God. If He spoke to us and we don't do it, then we defy it. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, our first parents, Adam and Eve, were given words from God which would bring unimaginable benefits into their life if they just obey them. That's all they had to do. Adam was warned of death which could come upon him at the moment he defiled God's word, defiled what God had to say. Life for the believer is to become doers of the word of God. That's what we read in James chapter 1, verse 22. The serpent, though, approached Eve with a question. Now you keep in mind, Eve had heard, if not God didn't speak to her, He spoke to Adam, and Adam spoke to her. Eve knew what God had said. In fact, she even said what God had said to some degree, though she kind of changed it a little bit. So what happened? The serpent approached Eve with a question. In Genesis chapter 3, 21, he said, "Has God said?" I say to you, Paul said, if he's inspired, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Has God said that? One little instant of doubt, and we see something happen here. Eve, are you sure that God said that? Or are you sure that God meant what you thought He meant? And in His sly way, His intention was to destroy the authority of God's word for them. Satan is not trying to help her, Adam. Not at all. Satan wanted them to adopt an attitude of superiority over what God said. And question it. And when you do that, sit in judgment of what God said. As if you have a right to analyze it and even not do it if that's what you feel that He had to say. And so here again, to Adam, Eve said this. Adam, God has said this. But wait a minute, the serpent has said this. Now Adam, we have to decide which is right. And I want you to know, I've already decided which is right. You know, getting the drift? And Adam, you make your own mind up. But I've decided there's something about what Satan has offered through the serpent that she knew at this time. Serpent has offered that intrigues me. There's something there I don't know about. And there, once it's mentioned, there's a drag, there's a movement to want to understand. about that. Satan appealed to Eve's pride, suggesting that God had prohibited something good from them trying to control them. In other words, now listen, Eve, God knows, in Genesis 3:5, the day you eat, your eyes will be open. And you'll be like gods. And Eve, you know good and evil. Uh-oh. Well, I already know what good is. God's good. He meets with us every day. He comes down and talks so we have a good... Wait a minute. But what is this evil? And her mind begins to think through deception. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but I'm thinking how we are today in His image. And maybe she said, God is good and He wants to know good and evil. Evil, evil, evil. What could evil be? I know God is good. So could it be that evil, in the enticing of Satan, evil is a little better than good? Yeah, God wants to prohibit you of enjoying what that will bring. He's trying to keep you from something that you'd really enjoy. And here she begins to think about this. We hear today that the church is too strict, too extreme, too narrow. I can just think in my own self. Eve said, you know, if God is good, evil must be really better. And since she never experienced it, she didn't know the conclusion of it. So God allowed them in their own mind thinking to rationalize. Hear God, hear another voice. Hear God, hear another voice. Hear God, hear another voice. Who are you going to believe? Well, it sounds like this person may be right. Man, this is a fellow human being. You know what? I've never experienced that. I really don't know how I can line that up with what God said, but I don't know how to explain. You know what I see? I see a lot of people who are raised in Christian homes or sheltered. And they know what it is to be in church. They know what it is to be faithful. They know a lot of things. But there comes a day, and they're out of this years before, towards young adult, they get to thinking, all of this about church, you know, and Satan said, all they want, God wants you to do is not be happy. Not have no fun. He's a God, a good God. You know He wouldn't let you, you know He wouldn't allow these things. And here they are, all of a sudden, they never experienced the other side. And Satan entices them. And he gets them to believe a lie. And say, how could this hurt me? How could this do anything for me where I'm at? I've experienced the God of life in the home, but I've never experienced that outside the home. And Satan cuts away at that, getting people to deny what God had said. And we see it in our mother Eve as she goes through this. You want us to lose out on so much when you have misunderstood God's love of law, a law of love? You mean to tell me that this is all there is, what I've been doing, and here I see all this other outside, and it looks so great? How can it be wrong? Look at the people involved with it. Look at the even religious people involved with so many things. How can it be? And all of a sudden, you find yourself, ladies and gentlemen, losing out on, you think you're losing out so much, and they say, God is a God of love, therefore, He's not what they are trying to make you believe. You see, Satan wants to encourage defiance and ungodliness all the time. It probably took only a few minutes for the serpent to deceive Eve. And I'm sure it didn't take only a few more minutes for Adam to listen to his wife. As she told him, and he talked about these things. Here the external and the internal forces were at work. Satan devises from without, and her own feelings within combined together began to outweigh what God had said. The devil and Seth is at battle all the time. This is what replaces the objected word and her love for God. Suddenly, she sees herself in a process that she thinks because she's only seen one side. And listen to Satan, he's hiding something from you that you really would enjoy. And after all, God is a God of love. And He wouldn't let you get into something that would go against Him, if you're honest. So I see God speaks to us through His Word. And then number three, I see the process. Here's the process that goes on. How does it work with us? Watch it as it works with Eve. There was a time, and you agree, there was a time when Eve was overwhelmed by God's majesty. Adam was overwhelmed with God's majesty. The God of this universe who made them from the dust of the ground and blew into them the breath of life. Nothing like him. Can't wait for him to come down and talk to him. Can't wait to hear him, his voice as he comes and know the majesty of God made this beautiful garden just for Adam and Eve. Made this universe like it was. Oh, what a God we have. That's what they saw to begin with. By the way, it's kind of like a person right after they get saved. You know, it's hard for Satan to trick a person right after they get saved. I mean, they may not have a lot of zeal, but they may not have much knowledge, but they got a lot of zeal. Man, they just go and they want to tell everybody how they can be saved until somebody cuts the water off by watering them down or throws water on them. What I'm saying to you is Adam and Eve walked with God and they enjoyed his fellowship. But the serpent came along and challenged the familiar truth of God, and Eve began to think, what if this is not what God is all about? I've seen all of this so far, but this must be something greater. And for some reason unknown, God is just hindering us from getting beyond where we're at in this garden. So she stops asking God for help. She's facing a crisis. And she stopped asking God for help. She began to listen to the voices within and without instead of the simple words that God has spoken to her. And she knows those words. Now her own hunches, her own ideas, her own thinking brings and it seems to be correct. Seems like now this ability God has given her, she's weighed it out. And she knows the other side where God's at. And she doesn't know this. And it just doesn't seem anything harmful with this at this particular time. She owes the Lord everything. Yet she pays attention to the assertions of a strange speaking snake. Isn't that unusual? Now, I don't think a snake then was like it is now. They didn't have sin, so there's nothing harm in it. He was a beautiful creature, evidently, until the curse was put on him. But it's still a talking snake. It's not a human being. And Adam and Eve smart enough to know the difference. Amen? And here she's listening to a strange speaking snake, a fascinating stranger. Today, many are persuaded to listen to men with a serpent's tongue. They're a rose speaking. They can get your attention and hold you. They can keep you awake when you go to sleep in church. They can keep you awake because they have more to say that's entered to the flesh than it is to the soul. So here you see something taking place. Here. Today, many are persuaded to listen again like a serpent's tongue. Eve gave authority over to her own feelings. Maybe she thought, and this is only maybe, you know, I never heard anything so wonderful as that before. See all this garden? See what God has done? And hear what I'm hearing about partaking of this fruit? She used her God-given powers of observation. Looking at that tree. As she looked at that tree and the fruit that was on that tree, she used her God-given powers of observation to see that the fruit was good for food. She also saw that the fruit was pleasing to her eyes in verse 6. And here, Satan said, go ahead and eat. Hey, God knows you'll be wise. What can be wrong in partaking of something that's good? The fruit is good. It's fine. You have to have, you know, fruit is good to eat. Why would God let you keep you from something that's good? These thoughts went into, no doubt, her mind. Satan says, go ahead and eat. You'll be wise. And she became infatuated with the fruit of that tree and the enticement of the servant. And she forgot or refused to listen to what God had to say. Every one of us have been there sometime in our Christian life. I don't care who you are. There's been a time you knew, and you somehow or another didn't heed or forgot what God had to say. Satan wins many arguments with such carnal desires. Satan made God's commandment to not eat seem so petty. That's so unworthy of a God who's love to keep you from something that's good. We're not talking about bad, something that's good. Hey, it's not that the fruit was bad. It was that what she did was bad. The fruit was good, you see. After all, God has governed the universe. He's not prying into our lives by being interested in people who's taking some fruit off of a tree. That's Satan's lie. You don't have to worry about this. He's not interested. Look at all this God has to look after. He's not concerned about whether you take the fruit off of that tree or not. And here after you see this, he thinks it appears so unfair. The respect of God's word is being undermined now. Her feelings were boasted by lies about the benefits that would be hers if she turned from God's will. Now she's thinking plus against a negative thing. She said, oh, the benefits I'd have by not listening to God and listening to what the serpent has to say. He's showing me bigger benefits than I'd have with God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not careful, you can get so familiarized with God in your life and hear something new and suddenly listen to the voice rather than what you know is true from God. We have that ability in our lives to do that through the free will that God has given to us. It seems so unfair. She was persuaded to use her reason to criticize and deny what God had so clearly said and decided for herself. She says, no, it's not. I'm going to decide for myself. Adam, I already made my decision. Now, you make your own. Here's what God said. Here's what the serpent said. And, you know, I made my decision. Now, you make your decision. There was no way that she could escape her fall. Listen to me. There's no way that she could escape her fall except to say no to what Satan said. That's the only way out. Can I give you an example? You have to listen to God's divine word. Let's bring it down to a level where we're at. Ladies and gentlemen, if a drug dealer offers someone the excitement of a whole new vision of life by popping a pill, hear me now. If a drug dealer comes to a young person, an old person, middle-aged, whatever, and tries to offer something that's new to them, a whole new vision of life by popping a pill, there is no way of avoiding the evil of that except by saying no. Because here's what happens. Same identical way as Eve and Satan tempted her in the garden. Here's what happens. You cannot swallow chemicals simple to find out. Because once you do, you have to read, you have to think, and you have to say, what I see, no. If you take the forbidden fruit or the pill, you're involved. If you take it, you're sucked in, you see. And suddenly you discover what drugs will do for you only by actually taking them. And when you say, I'm going to take this because I don't know and it can't be that bad. I don't care what they say. I'm going to take this. I don't believe it's that bad. And you begin to say to yourself that way. Then you actually take them. Then it's too late to avoid the damage. But they don't think about that. And neither did Eve. The authority. In the Bible, God has spoken about realities that lie outside our own experience to prove and disprove them. When God says something, I don't have to prove it or disprove it. When God says something, I don't have to say, well, that he didn't. He said, don't do that. I wonder why. That's so entire. I can't see anything wrong with that. I don't see. Surely a loving God wouldn't say. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. And don't take away from his loving either, so he'd say that. God speaks to us in realities. And I thought about our faith in the Bible message is not a leap in the dark. It's not a leap in the dark. Jesus proved his own love toward people when he died at Calvary. We affirm that God's word is true, and Satan's lie was the promise of freedom. Here's this. Satan's lie to Eve was a promise of freedom, but it ended up in bondage. And I'll say to you, anything, anytime anybody begins to look at something that harms them or it should be no, and they try, the lie that seemed to give you freedom puts you in bondage. And a person is a fool not to see that. Then when I look at this and I see, beware of the process. God speaks through his word. People defy his word. The fourth thing quick I'll give to you, and I hit this hard. The possibility of victory is obeying God's word. The only victory is obeying God's word. The only place to do that. The Christian living triumphantly does not depend upon our environment. It doesn't depend upon our situation. It depends on obeying simply God's word. Bunyan in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did some of his greatest work while he was in prison. Who'd ever thought you could be in? By the way, prison isn't like American prisons either, what he was in. He lived in his own stinks and everything else in prison, but he still served God in those hours. Food is good. Food is necessary. But wait a minute, the Bible says it's not the first necessity. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if you read that, the other things he said would be added. Food must be kept in its place. And Jesus proved that. He said what he did in Matthew chapter 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We eat to live. Hear me. We eat to live, but we don't live to eat. That's some good, you want some good psychology? That's good psychology, and it's good Bible truth. Sometimes we say that we got to cut corners so we can stay in business. That's a lie. Well, you have to obey God to really live and cutting corners. I'm talking about corners that are wrong. Nothing wrong in a corner if nothing wrong. But sometimes people cut corners and do things wrong, evil, to stay in business. That's not the way God set it up. We have to obey God to really live. Wait a minute, preacher. Let me ask you. Don't we have the right to food and sex and children and pleasure and money and satisfaction and happiness? Yes, but not at the expense of disobeying God. That's the key. I'm talking about why we should obey the scriptures. We don't live by satisfying our hunger. We live by doing everything that we know that God has told us to do. When we're tempted to not believe God, we have nothing but instinct to guide us. And every one of us will think just like Eve did if we listen to voices other than God. And by the way, if you're not studying the book, you don't hear no voice but other than God. No wonder this world's headed like it is. No wonder our nation is headed like it is in our day. When we're tempted to not believe God, we have nothing but instinct to guide us. Jesus said again, he refused to be satisfied to satisfy Satan's curiosity for sensational display in life in Matthew chapter 4. This sensational display, let me give you an example. This is like telling God to act on cue at a certain meeting. Someone say, don't miss the service tonight. We're going to have a healing at 7:30, like God's going to be on stage at 7:30 to perform an act. It don't work that way. I'm going to tell you, God has not been tested. We are the ones being tested. Nothing wrong in having a meeting to serve Him and worship Him. But He's not on display. He's not our puppet we pull. He's God. And Satan offers splendor without the cross. He offers victory without pain. God has spoken. That's enough. We obey Him because that glorifies God and shows our love for Him. If we love the Lord, it shows by our obedience to Him. John 14:21 tells us, we keep His word. If you love me, keep my word, Jesus said. The Christian life is not perfect in the flesh. We understand that. But it's a new life in Christ, blameless. We know how to come before the Lord and confess our sins. The newness will register in originality. The new creation will be different in life and conduct than this world. Because our God is different in this world. So our authority lies in the scriptures. Our authority lies in the scriptures which were inspired by Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. He wants us to understand them. He wants us to believe them. And He wants us to obey them. And if we'll do that, we're headed in a direction that most Christians, the world won't know, and most Christians won't know. Because they have not looked at what the power of God's word is. It's more than just a book, though it is a book. It's the absolute word of God for humanity to know Him. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for the study. I believe with all my heart that there is a settlement in my soul that only comes from understanding the book I hold is the absolute word of God. inspired by the Spirit of God in its original and kept through preservation for our day. When I read it, I can put my trust in it. I bank my whole life on what you are in this book through Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm not ashamed of that. I don't have much longer on this earth, I know. But I thank God for 48 years. I thank you, Lord, that I got started right on the book in churches that preached the Word of God years ago and got my direction in the right way to build upon. I feel sorry for people nowadays who make professions in Christ and then don't have a foundation to build upon. Lord, we have to have that foundation or we can't build on. You can't hang a block in the air. You can't put a spiritual block in there. It has to come from the foundation. And I believe this church is trying to keep that foundation laid that people can build upon it. We're not smarter than other people. We're not better than anyone else. We're just sinners saved by God's grace, giving God praise and glory and asking you to help us understand more about the one who saved us. The relationship between you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. The relationship between us and the Son and you and how that works. The purpose of God. How can I fit into that in this life? All these wonderful things we need to see. Then the other thing is, if there's people who don't know Jesus as Savior, we as near as humble as we know how, without any arrogance at all, say, let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. You're not an animal. You have the right to listen, to decipher, to diagnose, and to make a decision to believe what God says from His Word or listen to the voices around you, which is like Satan using anything he can get a hold of to change the truth of God. I'm glad we can say, amidst those voices, you hear us talk, you hear us speak, but wait a minute, you can reference what we say through the Word of God. And then God came to us last night and gave us a message. Now we're preaching. You don't have nothing but what I say the message is. Lord, you have documented it for them to read. Please help one see that either in this building, in the other building, assemblies, or by way of radio this morning. Someone to come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.